change. I have to admit that by and large the rule is they don't change. But our policy is get safe first. God isn't asking you to be a punching bag. That's not what this is talking about. My brother had a, in his church, had a woman that escaped from a very legalistic, binding church, and her husband, everybody was afraid of him. He wasn't a church-going person at all, but her pastor told her that this scripture applied to her. The women in my brother's church tried to get her to leave, and they had a safe house. They had a place they knew about where a person that was in danger could go. But she had friends from the old church that talked her into going back to him, even after she put him in the hospital. They talked to her about forgiveness, which basically wasn't real forgiveness because he wasn't really repentant, which enabled him, and he killed her. And the thing that makes me so angry is that you have church people who did not understand what this teaching is talking about, who put her in harm's way, and she's trying to do what she thinks is pleasing to God. She had not been at my brother's church long enough for him to really have any input in her life on this subject. I know somebody I had a very close relationship with that when she became a Christian, she was married to a man who had severe rage problems. Most of the time, he was a really nice, patient guy. But when he lost it, he went 0 to 60 in about 2 seconds. And he beat up friends, and he beat up her. He put her in the hospital a few times when she became a Christian. She landed, I think, in a church full of good people that had a very immature pastor. She told me that one day he almost killed one of his friends because he was in a rage. And she knew his friend's wife called her and said, "You better get out of the house. He's on his way home. He's not done yet." So she drove down to the church. She crashed the board meeting in panic. And they very politely, this board filled with men, very naive, immature men, including the pastor, says, "Now, honey, you need to go back home and you need to submit to your husband, just like the Bible says." She did not, thank God, or she might be dead to this day. Now, to give this guy credit, he did grow up. He did figure it out. He came to her on his knees one day in tears and apologized. He just said, "I just had no idea." See, here's the deal. She could have been dead. So that's all I'm going to say about that. Adapting yourself under as to the Lord, and as Colossians 3:18 says, as is fitting in the Lord, means there may be some things that are just not fitting for somebody who's first allegiance is God's rule. It doesn't mean that if your husband's asking you to do something that causes you to have to disobey what God tells you, that you're supposed to obey him. That doesn't even make sense. Remember Peter, when he talked about submitting, same word, to the authorities instituted among humans? Remember Peter, what he said at one point in the book of Acts? When God told him to do this, the authorities told him to do this, Peter said, "Well, we have to obey God rather than men." There is in that chain of command deal, there is a higher authority. And when the link above you is broken, my counsel would be then defer to the link above that. And I think that really fits here. And I think that's why the husband being the head of the wife, just like Jesus is the head of the husband, I think that qualifies this whole thing in a way that perhaps is not stressed maybe often enough. Verse 23. The husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body. of which he's the Savior. He really doesn't elaborate and go into any detail. He does in 1 Corinthians. Talked about this whole deal of headship, and the only thing that I'm going to say about that, I've heard really bad teaching on that as well. I had a 15-year-old girl in my first church that came to me in tears saying that, you know, she had gone to a basic youth conflict seminar whose leader I will not mention, but he makes me very angry. And he told her that you obey your parents no matter what. And her mother was telling her she had to sleep with her stepfather and her boyfriend, because her boyfriend had come and say, no, I love her so much, and she just won't respond to me. And she said, what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to obey my mom and do something that I know is going to break God's heart? And then she rattled off the stuff that all this guy said, and I thought, you know what? I know Jesus well enough to know he would never ask you to do that. He's not going to ask you to violate what is absolute pure love in his instruction, to violate that in order to follow some sort of chain misunderstanding of headship and chain of command. In Paul's discussion about headship, as a principle, it's all predicated in a marriage on the husband's head or authority being Christ. Everything kind of hinges on that. Here's what I've noticed. I've noticed that women who are confident that their husband has Jesus as his head do not have, as most of them, do not have as big of an issue about the subordinating thing. Most of the time, if it's not just outright rebellion, and I do know some women that just don't like anybody to tell them what to do, including God. But most of them that have problems with subordinating themselves are because they really don't trust that their husband is listening to the Lord or actually being governed by God at all. And it makes it harder. I'm not going to say a lot about that. I've seen so many examples of women who decided the plank eye thing applied to them and said, you know what? I'm going to do as best I can what God tells me to do, and I'm not going to worry about what kind of a husband he is. And I've watched God melt a guy's heart and change him. I've seen it happen more than once. I have to admit, I've also seen other guys that never changed. They just looked at it as fuel to run their own little kingdom. I know God's going to bless those women for doing what he asked them to do. Once again, please don't misquote me. If you're not safe, get out of there. I've known some very abusive husbands. I've known some pastors that were very abusive husbands, which is so ironic. So not like Jesus. Verse 24. Now as the church submits or adapts under, subordinates itself to Christ, so also wives should adapt themselves or subordinate themselves to their husbands in everything. Please don't stop reading. Because the very next thing says, husbands, love your wives the way that Jesus loves the church. I was talking with somebody the other day who was dealing with something like all of us have in their life, where God puts his finger on something that you haven't really allowed into the light. He's put his finger on a habit, or he's put his finger on something to say, you know, let's talk about this. And then the reason that it's not come into the light is because you didn't want to talk about it with the Lord, because you had a pretty good idea what he was going to ask you to do. This is true in my life. And in my life at one time, there was something that I argued with God about all the reasons why what I was doing was not wrong. I had scriptures. Never try to use scriptures when you're arguing with God. Bad policy, because he wrote them. And here's what he said. Here's how he stopped me in my tracks. He said, Bob, here's the issue. If I tell you to stop, will you stop?
But,
when I was talking with this person, they were telling me how God has just so richly rewarded their efforts at obedience. It's astonishing how God sometimes will honor the feeblest attempt at obedience that we give him. He seems to lavish encouragement on us. That is not the same as saying he will make it easy. I have noticed that the things I most needed to change about my behavior met with the most resistance when I tried to change. If you've been a slave to something for a long time, it's hard to bust out of that. Although that is Jesus' specialty, setting captives free. You've heard the old saying, I'm sure. How many counselors does it take to change a light bulb? Well, only one, but the light bulb really has to want to change. Sorry, I'm sure you've all heard that. I want to say something about the wife submitting and the whole thing of the whole chain of command thing. I have a wealth of football analogies, which a woman pointed out to me was just a little bit sexist when I was addressing women, because not all of them like football, not all of them understanding football, and it was a wasted analogy, although the guys understand perfectly, most of them. So I found a different analogy. In the old days, back when I was in my 30s, one of the things I did for a living was I was a conductor for orchestras. I made pretty good money at it. I played enough different instruments. I was a writer of orchestrations, and once my portfolio got out there, I was invited to conduct some orchestras for people. I mean, tens of thousands of dollars per hour were being spent in recording, and I was the guy that conducted. I remember one time at Capitol Records, and there, that big ugly round building in Hollywood, in their largest studio, I had some of the best players in the world. I had guys whose violin was worth $1 million. I had people that made multiple millions of dollars playing. My job as the conductor was, I had this score all spread out in front of me. My job was to set the tempo. I studied the orchestration to make sure what the recommended tempo was. I studied all of the nuances. My job was to keep the tempo moving, to stop them at the right time, to start them at the right time. And it was not my job because I was the best musician. It was only my job because I was the conductor. They were way better musicians than I was. But their job was to follow my conducting. Isn't that a fabulous example of what it means when God sets an order in a marriage? Okay, here's Jesus. He's the real conductor. Here's the husband. He's the one following the instructions. Here's the wife. She's simply, she would be way smarter. I think most honest men will tell you their wives are smarter than they are. But it's not about who's most important. It's not about who's the smartest. It's about who's been given the job to set the tempo and to conduct. Now, if I take verse 21 in conjunction with all of us submitting to each other, I remember what I told my wife on our honeymoon. I said, honey, I do not want you submitting to me when I'm wrong. The reason I married you is because I trust that you're a smart woman. You're trying to be a godly woman. If I'm wrong, don't you dare submit to me. Tell me I'm wrong. If I don't listen, pray that God will get through to me. And of course, I have to admit that happened more than once. It involves trusting God if you're going to submit to somebody. It involves trusting that God is the head. God is their head, whether they're acknowledging that or not. Wives, God is the head of your husband. It's interesting. I listened very carefully what I hear young people talk about being married. And I realize they're not always real candid with me because I'm this old guy that's their pastor. But I've cheered for a few of them when I saw who they chose to marry. I've cheered for a few when I saw that they refused to marry anybody because they didn't see anybody that was even in the ballpark. I cheer for them. I have cringed for what some of our young people have settled for. But one of the best things that I heard was a young woman I deeply respect. She said, look, God knows my taste. He made me, so he knows who I'm going to fit with. She said, I threw my whole list away. Here's the bottom line thing. I want somebody that will love me the way Jesus loves the church. And I wanted to go, you know, as long as you think that way, that's what you'll get. But we all know that's not always what motivates people to even become involved, much less to marry somebody. Under normal circumstances, with people who are living their lives out, as this whole thing is addressed to people who are part of God's kingdom. Ideally, they're supposed to be people whose head is Jesus, all of us. And in the structure of the home, under normal circumstances, the home is going to function at its best when a wife will acknowledge and support her husband's leadership as he acknowledges the leadership of Jesus. That's the way it's supposed to work. Do I have 5 more minutes? Okay, good. Next week we'll spend, and we might need to take 2 weeks, look at the husbands. One of the things my NIV study Bible says is, it says, you will notice that husbands are called upon to make a much more extreme expression of devotion than wives are. That's true every place where there's teaching. I don't know why, like I said, why you don't hear it much. By the way, there's so much that I'm not saying, but I always write here after verse 24, don't stop, where it says, wives, subordinate yourself to your husband in everything. Don't stop. Husbands, love your wives the way Jesus loves the church and gave himself for her. I'll give you a little bit of an outline for next week. We'll look at it quite in depth. Once again, I'm so daunted by verse 25, and I don't care who you're married to. Any guy that takes it seriously to love his wife the way Jesus loves the church has got to be daunted by that prospect, because we're not Jesus. We do have him living in us. My experience has been that most of the men that I have met are husbands that follow the model of the way their father was. And the sad thing is most of them have a really bad example. One or two have a good example. That makes it a lot easier. But the Bible never gives us our father, guys, as the example to follow. The Bible gives us Jesus as the example to follow. Here's the little outline we'll begin looking at next week. Remember, God always calls us to do things that are impossible to do without his help. In verse 25, he says it's a sacrifice. The way Jesus loves his bride is a sacrificial love. He gave himself up. By the way, if you're trying to find a way to love people without sacrifice, you're not going to find it, because love and sacrifice are essentially interwoven with one another. The whole thing about I'm not going to give up any of my rights kills love right in its tracks. Self-protection is the opposite of love. It is a sacrifice. Jesus is our example. In verses 26 and 27, it talks about purifying. His love for us is purifying. And it uses the example of washing us with his word. In verses 28 through 30, it talks about, different translations say, the King James, I think, talks about cherisheth, caring for. The Amplified Bible says Jesus nourishes and carefully protects. By the way, I have noticed that even good women, there's certain kind of women that are just they're as manipulating and controlling as some controlling men are. But even good women have trouble submitting when they don't feel like they're being protected. That's the way God made them. Fourth thing is, verse 31 tells us that the way Jesus loves us and that husbands are to love their wives is that it's an unbreakable bond. In fact, the word united that's used down here is the word for creating a metal alloy, where two metals are fused together and the molecules are mixed up with each other, and now you can't separate them. I love Twyla Paris's song about that, bonded together. I am my Savior forever. And the last one in verse 32, it tells us that the example of husbands loving their wives like Jesus is an example of God's love for us. So we'll pick that up next week. I didn't do too bad. We'll see who shows up next week. I know for sure all the women will. Let's pray. Lord, you knew when you had these words preserved for us that we couldn't do this by ourselves. You know that it's foreign to us. And that's why you gave us our friend, the Holy Spirit, to live in us and teach us how to do it right. You know the habits that we have that are, and all the reasons we have them. So we just come to you like a lot of those songs we sang, Lord, and we say, I don't care what humans can do to me. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to obey you. I need your help, obviously. I need to be the way I'm supposed to be, by created by my loving designer, even if nobody around me changes at all. So, Lord, help us to see one another with that whole plank eye illustration in mind, especially me as a pastor. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for living it out. Not just telling us what to do, but living it out. And then the best thing is for living in us to implement it. My prayer, Lord, is that you would continue to rescue. I know we've seen a lot of marriages go down in flames. Most always it was people who weren't paying any attention to what your word said at all, ignoring the instructions. So, Lord, I pray that we would take this seriously. I pray that you'd bless every family in here. I pray that you bless every single person that desperately wants you to send a tall, handsome doctor who loves like Jesus does to be their husband, or a godly, submissive wife to be their wives. Lord, let us look to you. Live our obligations as a believer in the body of Christ with the responsibilities we have right now, even as single people, to live lives of submission to you and to one another. That's my prayer, just like Jesus lived. So bless it, Lord, I pray. Watch over us today. Whisper in our ears. We'll try to understand and we will obey. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for coming. Thank you for not running screaming out into the lobby.